So what are we to do in the dark places of the world? How do we confront spiritual darkness? We can pray, we can give, and we can go. There are countries around the world where the doors are closed to the gospel. We can pray that the Lord will open doors in places that are hostile, in North Korea and Somalia and Afghanistan and Pakistan and Sudan and Syria and Iraq and Iran and Yemen, just to name a few. You and I can give to support the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Dr. Paul Chitwood's a personal friend of mine. I know his passion to see the gospel spread around the world. But it's imperative that we give to support these missionaries that take the gospel to places like Pakistan and Sudan and others where people have never heard about Jesus. Some of us are called to go. I don't know this. I'm curious to know. Maybe some of you after the service can tell me, but do you have any people that have been called as missionaries from Eastwood Baptist Church that are serving anywhere? Have you been on mission in an international flavor? Have you been someplace overseas or at least to a different country? You don't have to go overseas to go to a different country, but have you been on an international mission? I'm grateful, and I've met several of these missionaries who have given their lives to take the gospel in places that have never heard about Jesus. Some of us are called to go on mission, to give our lives in service to others around the world. And would you pray today and seek the Lord if He would have you go on mission? Would you pray that the Lord would raise up missionaries right here at Eastwood Baptist Church that He would use to take the gospel to the darkest places of the world? So let's pray right now. Just join me as we pray. Lord, we pray for our missionaries around the world. We pray for Dr. Chitwood and others that lead our International Mission Board. And we pray for these dark countries, these places of intense persecution, where even to say the name of Jesus, to gather in Bible study, to own a Bible, is a threat of death and harm, persecution. So we pray for these missionaries that are literally in harm's way. We pray, Lord, that we as a people will support them through our giving, through our praying, and through our going. We pray that folks here will go. We pray for those that have gone. We pray you'll raise up missionaries here at Eastwood Baptist Church to go into the world to share the gospel. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Today we're beginning a series to thinking about the birth of Jesus. There's a prelude to the birth of Christ. We're going to look at an older couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. I'm going to read verses 5 through 25 of Luke chapter 1, a prelude to the birth narrative about Jesus coming to Mary. We'll look at that next, about the angel coming to Mary about the birth of Jesus. Verse 5 of Luke chapter 1. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no children, because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. When his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. How can I know this? Zechariah asked the angel. For I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept making signs to them and remained speechless. When the days of his ministry were accomplished, he went back home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. She said, "The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people." So, here we meet an older couple. I'm thankful that children come when you're young, aren't you? Yeah, I told you I'm a grandparent, and our two granddaughters and our daughter and son-in-law came to our house for Thanksgiving, and we enjoyed them, but when they left, it was like, oh, good. Oh, good. They've gone home. Here's an older couple that had been faithful to the Lord for many, many years. They were from the line of Aaron, the priest, and they were righteous people. The Bible says here they were righteous and blameless. It means right with God and right with others. And yet they lived with this deep disappointment of having no child. These righteous people had long lived with this disappointment, never being able to have a child they had longed for, they had prayed for, and don't you know, they had given up praying for a child. They were old. They thought it was far beyond their capacity to have a child. Hear this truth today. Sometimes righteous, godly, upright people have deep disappointments in their lives. So how do we handle disappointment? Some of you have some deep disappointments that you carry around with you every day. Things you've prayed for, things you'd hoped for, things that happened that you would never have asked for. So how do you handle the disappointments of life? We do what this godly couple did. We continue to do what we know is right and continue to faithfully serve the Lord. The alternative is to become cynical and bitter. Difficulty and discouragement in life are inevitable, but bitterness is optional. I read a story about a college student that was reading an ad in a local paper looking for a car to buy, and he saw an ad for a 1995 Porsche, and the price was $500, and he thought, well, it had to be a misprint. So he called the number and said, I'm interested in the Porsche, but I'm sure it's a misprint. And the lady that answered said, no, it is not a misprint. So it was my husband's car. We're divorced now, and he told me to sell it and send him half the money. I'd love to see his face when he gets $250. Bitterness. Some of you have been through a divorce. Some of you have had children who have been through a divorce. Some of you have been wronged. Some of you have had people lie about you, say things about you that aren't right. cheated you. If you aren't careful, the difficulty in life will plant a seed of bitterness and hate and envy and strife. Here we find this couple that would have a son that would be the forerunner of the coming of the Messiah, who would preach repentance to prepare the way of the Lord. Not bitter, not cynical, still serving the Lord, even though they were living with this deep disappointment. Zechariah was from the lineage of Aaron, the priest of Israel, the ones who would offer the sacrifice for the people in the temple. There were 24 divisions of these priests. There was 18,000 of them that would serve 2 weeks per year, but they only got to do it once in their lifetime. So when Zechariah, it was said that they cast lots. It was really the luck of the draw. He was chosen at his appointed time to come to the temple and to go into the temple and offer sacrifice for the people. This would be the first time and the only time he would do this in his life. It was a dream come true. And then the Bible says, it says in verse 10, at the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Zechariah was according to the custom of the priesthood, he entered the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord spoke to him. It was while he was in worship before the Lord that the Lord spoke hope into his deep disappointment of not having a child. The angel appeared to him and said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard." What prayer? It was a prayer of young people. It was a prayer of somebody when they first got married. It was a prayer in their 30s and maybe into their early 40s. But after that, they quit praying. And now they're advanced in years. We don't know how old they were, but they were beyond childbearing years in their mind. And yet here they were, here he was, entering the temple, coming to worship, offering prayers for the people. How do you handle the deep disappointments of life? We claim this truth. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. So what have you been praying about for a long time? Maybe it's something personal. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's something in your church. Maybe it's something in our culture. And you've thought that your prayer doesn't matter. I'm telling you the good news of this story and the good news of the gospel is that God hears your prayers. So don't quit praying. Some of you wives have a husband that doesn't come to church. Keep praying. Some of you husbands have a wife that doesn't come to church. Some of you have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that aren't being raised in church to know and follow the Lord. My encouragement to you is keep praying. Don't give up. God hears our prayers. We live in an atmosphere of doubt. Zechariah, here he was in the temple, here an angel, Gabriel, the messenger of God, comes and stands to the right side of the altar, we're told, and yet he doesn't believe it. How can this be, he says. How can I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Well, it was physically probably impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So his prayer that he had prayed early was finally being answered through the miraculous intervention of God. Where is God, we wonder sometimes? Is he active in my life? Does he have a plan for my life? Can I know him? Can I know that plan for my life? And there are three affirmations that accompany this proclamation by the angel Gabriel, which help us when doubt seeps into our lives of faith. And one of those affirmations is that God is real. That God is real and active in our lives. Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning, God." And sometimes you just have to claim verses that solidify the existence and the reality of God. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The angel identified himself as the one who stands in the presence of God, who is sent by God to speak to real people in a real situation with real problems. God is real. And not only is he real, but he cares about our needs and desires. Did God know about their need? Yes. Why did he wait until they were old? So people would know that the child was from God. Sometimes you and I have to get to zero to run out of resources before God can bring new life in us. Over the years, I've worked with a lot of addicts. My own struggle with addiction to alcohol has given me the opportunity to speak to folks about their own addictions. And one of the things that I've happened in my life, and I know that it has to happen in a person that's addicted, whether it's alcohol or whether it's drugs or whether it's work or whether it's any number of things, they have to reach a bottom. They have to run out of their own resources. If you have somebody that's struggling with this, I want to recommend a book to you. It's called Broken. It's by William Moyers. He's the son of Bill Moyers, the great commentator and writer. And William Moyers says in the book that he finally ran out of resources and excuses and turned his life over to God. When you finally run out of resources, you'll find that God's been waiting on you. When you finally hit bottom, you'll find out that God has been there all along, but he's been waiting for you to quit trying to help yourself and allow him to help. Zechariah and Elizabeth had run out of their own resources. They thought they were long beyond childbearing years, and yet God spoke to them. They were going to have a child, not only a child, it was going to be a son, and not only a son, it was going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. We are not alone. That's what the angel Gabriel came to tell Zechariah and Elizabeth, and that's what the Christmas story is all about. You and I are not alone. I'm going to say this many times while I'm here, and you're probably going to get sick of saying it, but God has a pastor on his way here. You believe that? It's true whether you believe it or not, but it's nice if you believe it. You've got to know that God has not abandoned you, that God's still very much interested in the life and the future of Eastwood Baptist Church, and you need to continue to pray that at the right time, with the right person, that the pastor, the right pastor, will show up, and that God is still active in the lives of this church and in your life. That's hope. And how do we do that? Well, we continue to pray. According to a recent Gallup poll, more Americans will pray this week than will drive a car or go to work. 9 out of 10 of us regularly pray about something and to something and for something. We pray because we want to thank someone or something for the beauty and blessings of life. We pray for forgiveness, for strength, for assurance that we are not alone. And the good news is that God is with us, and that's what the coming of Jesus into the world is all about. Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed. They prayed for a child they thought that would complete their lives. but that prayer had long been relinquished, and now they were praying for others. They were praying for Israel. They were praying for the coming of the Messiah. They were praying for hope, for God to intervene in their lives, in the life of Israel, for the Word of God to come forth again in a prophet of God. And then one day, Zechariah was chosen to serve in the temple, and Gabriel, the one who stands before God, was sent to speak a word from God to him. His name will be John. Joy and delight will accompany him. He will bless you and many others, and he will prepare the way for the Lord. They had prayed for a son, but God gave them a prophet, a gift of God, to prepare the way for the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. There are at least three things going on in this passage. God is at work in our world and has a plan, and he invites each of us to join him. So what is it that God's inviting you to do? What opportunities is he placing before you? It isn't enough to come and sit and worship. Following Jesus is about serving. It's about becoming more and more like Christ. It's allowing Christ to live in us, for his very presence to live through our lives. He has a plan for this world, for this church, for my life and your life, and he invites us to join him in that plan. That's the good news of Jesus coming into the world. God does intervene into the affairs of this world to bring about his plan of redemption. He invites us into his plan. He works through people. Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a son named John. God doesn't just bless institutions or governments to do his work. He uses people, ordinary people, godly people like you and me, to bring about his will and way. The people that have impacted my life with the gospel have been ordinary people. I don't know anybody famous. But I know a lot of good, godly, ordinary people that are following Jesus. People like you that have impacted my life. I had Sunday school teachers. I had a pastor. I had a Methodist preacher when I was growing up that was my baseball coach in Burnside that was an example of Jesus to me. When I worked for the Department of Transportation in Frankfort, as a civil engineer, I had a guy named Doug Smith that we'd go out and I was working on a drill crew doing foundation exploration on landslides in different parts of the state of Kentucky. And Doug was on the drill crew, and there was others of us on the drill crew. And at night we'd go out and drink. Well, Doug would go back to his room and study his Bible. Doug was an example to me of godliness in the midst of my pagan lifestyle. There are people in your life that have impacted you for coming to Christ. People, they'll never know the impact that they have had, the witness that they have had. I want to be that person. I want to be that kind of person. To my children, to my daughter, to my son-in-law, to my grandkids, to my family, but also to the bigger world, to people that when they think of Dan Garland, I want them to think about somebody who has been faithful to the Lord, faithful to my wife, faithful to serve. It may seem like a small thing, but that's really what God wants us to do. He wants us to continue to be faithful because he uses people like us. And then as you pray, he hears your prayers. You say, well, I pray and I don't get what I want. Well, I want to tell you, I'm glad for unanswered prayer. Sometimes the answer is no. I think back to my teenage years for things I prayed about. It didn't happen. And praise God. I wasn't mature enough. I didn't understand what God had planned for me. Sometimes when we pray, the answer is no. I had a church several years ago that asked me to come be their pastor. And everything seemed good. And so I asked the chairman of the committee, could I get into the building at night by myself and just spend a couple of hours just praying, walking around the building? And I went into the sanctuary and I sat and I said out loud, Lord, is this where you want me? And it was louder than audible. No. I thought, well, I'm dreaming. I'm just making this up. I'm thinking in my own head. So I get up and I walk to the educational part. And then I walk into their family life center. And I said again, Lord, is this where you want me? And the answer was no. And I had to call the chairman of the committee that next morning and say, I don't know how to explain this, and you may just think I've lost my mind, but I'm not supposed to be the pastor of your church. Sometimes the no is very clear. Sometimes the answer is not yet. You're not ready. I'm not ready. Sometimes we have to wait. Zechariah and Elizabeth had quit praying for a child, but the answer was on the way. In God's time, in God's way. You see, the deal is, God is God, and you are not. And if you were to answer all your prayers, the world would be a mess. Your world would be a mess. And then finally, sometimes the answer is go. When the go came, Zechariah was doing for others what had been done for him many times. Don't you know that Zechariah and Elizabeth had asked these other priests who had gone in at their appointed time, and as they went into the temple, he probably gave them a little piece of paper. If you've ever been to Israel, when you go to the Wailing Wall, there are little pieces of paper stuck in that wall. They don't pray to the wall. They're praying through the wall to the holy ground on which the temple sat. And don't you know that Zechariah and Elizabeth gave those priests that prayer? We're praying for a child. And they had prayed for them. And it's exactly what Zechariah was doing. People handed him prayers. Would you pray for my mother? Would you pray for my son? Would you pray for my husband? Would you pray for Israel? Would you pray for this? Would you pray for that? And that's what he was doing. And that's what God wants us to do. When I'm in difficulty, when I've had disappointment in my life, I need people to pray for me, to intercede for me. I have a friend of mine, Tommy Reed, who's pastor of Fitzpatrick Baptist Church in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. I've known Tommy for over 20 years, and he's a prayer. And every week, I get a text message from Tommy Reed, just for me. Dan, I'm praying for you today, and he'll give me scripture that he's prayed over me. Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody praying for you? Wouldn't it be a good time in this church when you were praying for others, that you continue to do the work of the Lord? I know many of you are doing that. You have people on a prayer list that you're praying for, family members, loved ones, people on staff, the leadership team, for the pastor that's on his way. This is a time to pray. This is a time for our church to pray for a renewed focus of the gospel and a fresh vision of what Christ wants to do for us. It's a time for each of us to renew and make a fresh commitment to the Lord and of what He wants to do in and through our lives. It's a time that we continue to be faithful in serving, in giving, and going. This is not a time to back up. This is not a time for the church to be behind in anything. Sharing the gospel, in their budget, in the impact in the community. You want to be able to show the future pastor that you are the people of God in this place doing His work. It's a time to come together, to unite around the focus and the power of the gospel. It's a time to renew ourselves. You say, well, I don't exactly know how to pray. I read a story. I don't know if it's a true story. Some of the stories I tell are true, some aren't. You know, Christy came home one day. We were at Zion Baptist in Henderson. She was about 9 years old. And she looked at me and she said, "Dad, that story you told today, was that true or were you just preaching?" Story about a 9-year-old little girl that got saved. And so that afternoon, she was sitting out on her back porch, and her dad went out, and he was listening to her, and she was reciting the alphabet, A, B, C, D, F, G. And he said, "Honey, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, Daddy, I'm praying." He said, "Well, it sounded like to me you was reciting the alphabet." She said, "Well, I don't know how to pray yet, but I figure if I say the letters, God will take the letters and make words, and the words and make sentences and know what I mean in my heart." You don't know how to pray? Pray the Psalms. That's what the Psalms are. They're prayers. They're not just songs to sing. They're prayers to pray. Pray Psalm 23. Pray Psalm 51, the repentance psalm. Pray Psalm 90. Pray Psalm 100. Pray the model prayer that Jesus prayed in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. As you read Scripture, as you pray the prayers, God will know what you need, and the answer is on the way. Don't you give up. Don't you quit being faithful. I want to ask you today to pray with me. We're going to stand in a moment. If you want to come to this altar, it's fine. You can just stand right where you are. Some of you don't want to get close to each other. I understand that. But you can make right where you stand a holy place, an altar. And I want you to pray with me that God will show you what He wants to do in your life. And we also want to pray for our church, for our leadership, and for the pastor that's on his way. We want to pray that God will bring about His will and way in His time. So let's stand together. We're going to pray. If you want to come to this altar, it's fine. If you just want to stand where you are, it'll be fine. I'm going to pray for us. So Lord, hear our prayer, O Lord. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you just lift your prayer to the Lord for yourself, for your family, for your church, for the leaders of the church, for the pastor that's on his way. Lord, hear our prayer today. Lord, we confess today that we are sinners without excuse and without exception, and that we need you. We're lost, doomed to a sinner's hell without you. And Lord, today, we want to reach back to that time when we trusted Christ as our Savior and our Lord. So would you just reach back there for a moment? Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe you were a child or teenager, young adult, whatever. Whenever it was, how long ago it's been, just reach back there for just a moment. Remind yourself of when you trusted the Lord and all these times He's been with you. Lord Jesus, thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. And some of you can't remember, so this can be your day. When you trust the Lord as your Savior and Lord and follow Him in baptism like this young man did this morning. You say, "Pastor Dan, how do I do that?" If this is the desire of your heart, as I pray this prayer, we want you to come to Christ today. Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. Please forgive me my sins and give me the gift of everlasting life. I commit my life to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. That's the desire of your heart. Ed and I are going to be out.